Father, again we come to you, Lord, with this precious book. It's impossible to understand without the Spirit of God, and we understand now why you gave us your Spirit the day we got saved. Lord, sometimes when we're early Christians and babes in Christ, we just trust you and we don't have an idea of what's going on, but that's the reason you gave us this book. That's the reason the Holy Spirit draws us to the Lamb of God. That's the reason when we get saved, you give us the Spirit of God, and then over our lifetime, we're getting every morsel of spiritual bread from this book that we can get, and as much as we want, you give to us. But it won't come just naturally in the sense of saying, I'm saved, and never open the pages. So this night is precious night, Lord. Just every time we come here and open this precious book on these premises, it's precious time. Because if it's taught, it may not be and should not be the way it's taught in the sense of a person having better speech or mind. It should be what it's taught, and the Holy Spirit helps us understand that. And I pray tonight you do the same thing as we look into this book again. Intercession that we have from you and from the Trinity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. Turn with, if you will, like I said, Ephesians chapter 6 to start with. And I hope we finished last week, but I hope to finish it tonight. I know sometimes a subject gets maybe boring to you. But I know this. There's certain subjects that are a whole lot more time takes to get them in line to understand what's going on to help us grow. And I believe that the more we spend on this, on subjects that kind of gives us an insight of what's going on in us, we're using all this material that God has here, it should be a blessing to spend more time in this Bible individually than just when we come to church on Sunday. And so here in Ephesians chapter 6, I want to read down verse 18 just a moment. But here's where, and let me just start off in this way. I don't know about you, but one of the most precious things that I've seen more in this study than ever before that God reaffirmed my heart is how much God loved us to intercede for us. To think that we got saved by God's grace, and then God loved us enough, not just to, well, now you say, I've saved you now, I've gave you the book, you find your way until you get home. If that happened, we never make it. Never make it. And this is the thing, and this is what fights this book more than anything else Satan tries to. We need his grace to save us. We need his grace to keep us. And we need his grace to grow. And if we never get beyond the playpens, you heard me say many times, we'll find ourselves never growing it at all and in limbo about a lot of things that happen. And this day is dangerous because we have the media so much means of giving us information every day of our life. As a matter of fact, if you listen carefully, probably you hear more things to deny what you believe than to help you believe what you believe. And that's the thing about it. It's where we're at today. But you know, sometimes we as Christians are so geared to grow so much, and then that's where we stop. And from there, we don't see what's on the horizon. And if God ever put us to a real test, the odds are we wouldn't be what we thought we'd be when the tests come. Because we can't handle little things when they come, then how are we going to handle greater things that God allows to have? And by the way, we're going to see Christianity in an era toward the end of the day age a lot worse than it was in the last number of 100 years or so. So there have been some bad times pockets in the world, but it's going to be worldwide. And not only that, but we're going to find that the worldwide will see it, and Satan will do a mastermind in trying to deceive us. So look with me as we start off tonight, and I say again, what blesses my heart is this. I know this deep down inside after 58 years of this book, more so than ever, that God has his Son sitting at the right hand of the Father, and the Bible tells me to intercede on my behalf. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if I have to have God's Son sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for me, that means I'm not arrived at you yet. That means I don't know everything I need to know. That means if I'm not careful, Satan will slip us to live a certain way to a point and go no further than we could do for God. But then you say, well, that's sitting there, but I'm not left alone here either. Because God, not only his Son, sat at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us, he gave us the Holy Spirit here to make intercession for us. So here I have, sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for me when Satan tricks me up, and I have the Holy Spirit living, and by the way, so do you. You have Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father, if you're saved, interceding for you. When things come and not just what there should be, if you're truly born again, And then we have the Holy Spirit living in us now that intercedes for us to move in direction that God wants us to do, move even to our prayer life. He's there. So look at this chapter 6, just give you a rough history of what's going on from 10 down. We talk about the soldier or the warrior and the things we need. We see the power in verse 10, he tells us. In verse 11, he shows us the armor. He describes the actual stuff in the armor in verse 12, two verses. And he gets down to verse 18, and he tells us what our resource is. This is where our power is at now. All these other things would not be any good at all unless we had the power that's needed to do what God calls us to do. At least say amen to that. Because you can't do it by yourself. If we're out there fighting by ourselves, ladies and gentlemen, we're just spinning our wheels in quicksand and nothing's really happened. God has to have an right of way in our heart, and He's given us a way to have that right of way by having the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit will not burglarize our will. And you have said it hundreds of times, He'll not burglarize our will to get saved, and He won't burglarize our will to serve God. But He'll lay everything out before us. Watch in verse 18. We'll tie this thing together, and then we'll get into some more things. He said, verse 18, he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's Holy Spirit there, if you notice capital S. Prayer, he said, praying always with all prayer. That's power. Supplication is persistent. That's what you're doing in the Spirit. Somebody say, well, now, praying in the Spirit, is that some this thing that you see people in the Spirit doing things nobody knows? No, this is saying that we learn to pray in the Spirit, and we'll tie this together in Romans 4 last week about how the Spirit helps us to make intercession in the prayer before God. Watch what he says, and watching thereunto with all the perseverance, that's to stay alert, and supplication for all the saints. So here you find yourself prayer and supplication with power and persistence by the Spirit or in the Spirit, and then when you do, you have also the alertness and things that need to pray for saints. Who are the saints? The child of God. Not those who claim to be saints, those who are born again children of God who are called saints. Now look when we see in Romans again, chapter 8 in verse 26 and 27. We saw that last week. That's where we ended up last week. Here we're talking about praying into always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now watch. In verse 26 of chapter 8, he said, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Thank God for that. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. So he said, don't tell me I don't know what to pray for. The thing about it is, if you think you know what to pray for, you may be praying for the wrong thing. God gave us the Holy Spirit to help us understand, not only just to pray when we have a desperate need, but just to pray and learn how to pray for others. And he goes on, he said, what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself make an intercession for us with a groaning which cannot be uttered. That is, He's doing things for us when we pray. And that's the reason why. I know sometimes I say, let's have an altar call around here and we pray. And people come and pray. And somebody say, well, I just don't get nothing out of an altar call. Maybe it's the reason because you're not in it. Don't tell me prayer is a powerful source. If prayer is a dull thing that you do by yourself with others, something's wrong. Because prayer is the channel that we get to God. This word is the channel that God gets to us. It's the Holy Spirit helping us on this end to understand this word. And so Jesus Christ on the other end helping intercede for us when the areas that we find we're not growing as much as we should. Now he said in Luke 4, verse 27, and he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Why? Because he maketh intercession for the saints. And I love this, according to the will of God. In other words, my prayer life and your prayer life as a child of God, when it's prayed, when the Holy Spirit helps us, it will always be according to the will of God. Amen. I'm sorry to say, but it's true, all of us have prayed probably a number of prayers since we've been saved. It was not according to the will of God. Amen. We don't decide that unless it's biblical. God decides that for us, but if it's biblical, we claim the promises of God. But then if you're not careful, you go too far. And I'll show you that. It tonight also. So I tied this together, this prayer life, which is the intercession part for me. Boy, I tell you, praise His name, I'm covered at both ends. Satan can't win. Did you know that? We're covered there where God's at. We're covered here where we're at. And we're linked together with the power of Almighty God. And listen, here's the thing about it. You say, well, I don't understand that. If God is God in this three persons, God, Father, God, and Son, the Holy Spirit, why do we need Him there? Why can't the Spirit just do it here? Well, by the way, listen, the Holy Spirit could, but the Holy Spirit was sent, Jesus said he'd be sent to live in us. Why would he come to live in us? We must need some help. We need just more help to be brought to Christ. We must need some help. Father, listen, ladies and gentlemen. God the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, loved us so much. Look what he just didn't only save us and talk about taking us to heaven. He made arrangements so you and I, when we got saved, we would find him in working in our lives, this end and the other end. I need Christ there today, and I need the Holy Spirit here now. But I tell you, I need this book to help me connect the two together. It's the Word of God. So here, I find he goes on and he says, when he talks about, I tie this together and see, the Holy Spirit will help me pray according to God's will. That simply says, and I don't know if you understand this, that simply says, if I look at something, I say, Lord, I really pray about that. I think this particular thing is needed. And I start to do that thing. Now, there's some groups that tell you, if you name it and claim it, God will give it to you. Well, I'll be honest with you. I don't know much about this book, but I'm glad enough to know that when I name and claim something for the Lord and don't get it, it don't bother me that much because I know God heard my prayer anyhow. And I know this, that the Holy Spirit's going to help me pray for the right thing. He's always going to be in the will of God. How do I know that? Go back and look at Christ in the garden. You remember when he was praying? I said last week, we closed out. He said, not my will, but thine be done. He prayed in the sense of to move the cup from him. But he said, Lord, in the end results, it's not my will, but thy will be done. That's God the Son showed. That's what the Holy Spirit's going to be doing for us when we pray for those things that are needed. God knows what we need to do the work, and he would do what is necessary by making us grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord by obedience to him. Now, if you look with me over in Romans chapter 4, just a minute. And we'll go and tie a little bit further together. Look in Romans chapter 4, we go down about verse 13. Here it talks about the Apostle Paul. Now, here's the Holy Spirit living in me to help me understand what's happening. And then Christ is the right hand of the Father to make intercessions for me. And somebody says, well, I really don't need that intercession. Boy, I do. If I thought I had a little perfect life, I'd think I need it. Because there's one thing about it, ladies and gentlemen, you and I have not arrived yet. It's so foolish to think that I could live a perfect life in this life. Because if I could, then this body would go to heaven good as my glorified body could. Amen? Yes, sir. Am I so far out there I'm sinking? I just look at myself. If I could live a life in this body even after I've saved, that would be good enough to go to heaven. I wouldn't need Christ to start with because I could have done any. But if Christ comes in and helps me, then there's something in this body that's going on that I'm going to have a glorified body for that new creation in me to live in. If I could live a perfect life since I got saved September 27, 1959, until I get home to glory, why would I need a glorified body? Because if I can live a perfect life here, I can live a perfect life there. No, God said, this body's not going there. The new creation is going there. So now I look back and I see he talks about Abraham and he tells us something that happened. Look in verse 13. He said, for the promise that he should be the heirs of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now watch how this brings about. He said, we go back and look at the Old Testament system. Before God ever gave the law, he called Abraham, and Abraham walked by faith. And that's what he's telling us in these few verses. He walked by faith. Then he goes on and explains something by the law. He said, for if, what's the word if there? Well, the word if can mean something if you study them and look up. There's a lot of ifs in the Bible. Go back again. We read it. For the promise that he should be heirs of the world, that we know we joined heirs of Christ today, was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but how? Through the righteousness of faith. And that faith is in Jesus Christ. Connect Romans 12, 1 and 2, and connect Romans chapter 3 about being justified, not by the law, but by grace and by the blood of Jesus Christ. So he's telling us that here, both things tie together. Holy Spirit's helping us tie together. Go back to Abraham's day. He didn't have the law. The only thing he had was to believe God. And his faith in believing God was counted to him for righteousness. But it was not paid for until Jesus came. But because he walked in that, it rode it to Calvary. Then later, we see he called out the nation of Israel. And he gave them the system. We've seen that in the last few weeks and months, too, about the Levitical system, which has to do with the law and has to do with Israel. And when that now, looking towards the time that came, Israel did not know and understand about Jesus Christ coming. They knew that Messiah was coming, but they had no idea the mystery of what would happen when he comes. So what did they do? They either obeyed God in the system, which in turn rolled their sin to Calvary, or they disobeyed God and was left out of the system. So what happens there? He said the law was given so they might know what's right and wrong. Like he said, but if that which is of the law be erred, faith is made void. If you can do what you do by the law, faith is made void. By the way, if you could do what God said do by the law, you wouldn't need faith. Amen? You wouldn't need faith. On the other hand, he says this, that if that which is of the law be errors, and that is, that makes you part of the family of God or gets you into the kingdom of God, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. In other words, if what we could do by keeping the law, the promise that God made about Christ is none effect, has no effect upon us. On the other hand, he goes further, and he said, because the law worketh wrath, but he says, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Do you get that? The law brings wrath or judgment and horror by destruction because it's broken. But then he says, where there's no law, there's no transgression. In other words, God is an honest God. Yet Paul says in Romans 5 that they died even before the law was given because the wages of sin is death. But it's a simple thing. He said, if you don't have law, you don't know it. If a generation comes, there's no law, you don't know what the laws are. You may make your own laws, but God didn't set his laws up until he set up the nation of Israel, except as he deal with individuals in certain times of history. But when he gave the law in that day, in the Old Testament, you find that was the means. Every person who believed the law that did what God did, amazing, none of them kept the law, and yet God set up a system, as I said a few months ago, God set up a system where a sacrifice could be given so sin could be atoned for until the promise should come. Now, Israel went through all of that emotion of the Levitical system, believing the Messiah was going to come, but they had no idea. It was a mystery what he was going to do. But yet, because they did what God said to do by obedience, God allowed that sin to be rolled to Calvary, and every person in the Old Testament obeyed God, at the time of their life, even though Christ had not come, if they obey God in the system and did what God said do, he did the same thing to imputed righteous to time for Christ came to pay for sin. That'd be with us in heaven as much so as the Old New Testament will. Amen. So what happens? They were doing, though they didn't know, simply where they're at now. They were trusting Christ in the Old Testament, or trusting God in the Old Testament, doing what he said do, and by believing that, look forward to the time that Calvary would come. Jesus would come. And when he came, they didn't even see him as a nation because they're still looking for the Messiah. But that didn't change God's plan. Then when Christ came, where they were looking towards Calvary and their sin by obeying God, by doing what they did in the system, their sins would be forgiven and they'd be. Now we're on this side of Calvary and we're looking back to Calvary. What are we doing? Same thing. Obeying God how? About his son. By the Son. He's telling us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He's telling us, confess from the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart God's raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God is telling us now, looking back to Calvary, all we got to do is believe God for the time that we're living in, what he's doing. And listen, we have an advantage because we know Christ came. So instead of going through a ritual somehow, we trust him. And that's what he's telling us, compare as the Holy Spirit lives in us, to show us the dividing line, why we're where we're at and what God is doing, and why they were where they're at and what God is doing, and I'd rather be here than there. The only thing about it is, some will say, well, why did God let us go through that and have to go through all that mess and all those animals and so forth? Well, you have to ask him when you get to heaven. He had a plan and purpose, and his plan and his purpose is working out. Watch, he goes on. He said, therefore, it is of faith that it might be of grace, to the end of promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And so he said, not only is God doing for them what he did for obedience to send to Calvary, but for those who are in the age of faith, back trusting Christ as Savior, we're all going to be brought in. Of course, the church is entirely different than Israel. The church is the bride of Christ. Israel was considered the wife of God. Symbolically, so we'd understand the meaning of the two. And God dealt with Israel a different way than he deals with us. And the church is going to be different when you get to heaven. The bride of Christ is going to be there, presented in Romans chapter 19. And that bride of Christ is a little bit, it'd be different than what happened in the Old Testament. And I've heard a lot of things talked about. I don't know how God's going to do all that, but I know this. Those in the Old Testament believed God and did what he said do are going to be there. And those in the New Testament who received Christ are going to be there. And those in the Old Testament who did what God said do, it's also said that they have been put under the blood of Jesus Christ, because only his blood can cleanse sin from Genesis to Revelation. From beginning of time to the end of time. Boys, I'll tell you. And by the way, it amazes me, you don't hear this much nowadays. You talk about believing Christ. But everybody looks at Christ, if I believe in Christ, it's kind of open up to wealth. Yeah, if I get Christ, I name and claim him. I'll show you what he says here. Look down in verse 17. Wait, let's look at 16. He says, therefore, his faith that might be by grace to the end, promised that be sure to all the seed, not to go again except the law, but to the that which also is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now watch in verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, talking about Abraham, before him whom he believeth, even God who quickens the dead, watch this now, quickens the dead, those who have been made alive. Two phrases there, you're dead in trespasses and sin, God can quicken us and save us. And also, we who die physically, he's gonna raise us from the dead. And so he goes on, but I like this last phrase. He said, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll be honest with you. Right there is a phrase you've heard a lot of times. And you hear this all the time, that if you're saved now, you want something, you just call it. Faith is calling that which is you don't see there, but you call it into existence. You and I don't have no power to call nothing into existence. It's talking about God here. But faith is believing that God will do it. If we had the power to call things into existence, we're messed up enough. If we had the power to call things in existence, we would be messed up. What God is saying us, faith is that believing, trusting. It may not happen right then, but the Holy Spirit helps us, will bring it about if it's going to be to promote God's will. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, does it make sense? The only thing that matters to what God does for me anyhow is what helps me promote his kingdom and his will. That's the only thing that really matters. Because life is so many over with. My wife was all just this week. We've been visit some places because had the funeral there. It amazes me that we look back and said, you know, we looked at the obituaries. I don't know, you get older, you look at them more, I reckon. And we know it's somewhere between 80 and 85, most people die. We got 2 to 3 more years. You may live to be 90, but you may not. But in an issue, do you look at the obituaries anytime? Thank you, brother. Amen. But if mine's in there, I'm going to be having a good time, I tell you that, on the other side. Amen. But I'm thinking about this. This here right here, talking about calling things in existence, it isn't that, listen, if the Holy Spirit is interceding for us, and I show you he is, he's interceding for us, ladies and gentlemen, they're living in us, then anything that God wants me to have, I can believe God for it, believe his faith. You see, even believing in Jesus Christ is one thing of the facts, but you have to receive him to be saved. And Jesus tells that himself. So then I go back and I pray for the power of the Spirit for God's people. And when I do that, I look at Israel to tie up together this, how she looked ahead of time by obeying God, what he said in the Levitical system. I look in the age of grace, what God says, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I see the connection of the two. Now I want to come back and see this great intercession of part. I know Jesus sits at the right hand making intercession for me. He tells me that. He says we're, by the way, this is what gets me. He says that we're, Ephesians 2 says we're sitting there with him. We're in him. And then I come back and begin to look at some of the things about the Holy Spirit who's living in me now. The Holy Spirit has been given to every child of God to help him in his life this time. He dwells in us. He's not a separate being in one part of our nature. Holy Spirit didn't come in to just be over here one side. The Holy Spirit come in to be completely used through the whole system of my Christian experience in life. He's the divine power energy by which his life is maintained and strengthened in the strengthens us in the flesh, and all that a believer is called to be or to do, the Holy Spirit can and will work in that person. If he does not know or yield to the Holy Ghost, the blessed Spirit will not work in that person, and his life that is full will be full of failure and also of sin, because he don't know no difference at that time. So the Holy Spirit promises a promise as a spirit of grace and supplication. That's what we see in Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through a few verses. He was sent forth into our hearts as a spirit of adoption, where we cry, Abba, Father, in Romans 8, verse 14 through 16. In other words, he maketh intercession for the saints according to God's will. And that's not my saying. That we found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 and 27. And verse 27 gives us that statement as plain as, you know, see Mac run. It just amazes how vivid statements are and how they can explode in our heart and life when we look at these things. He sent it forth in our hearts. And of course, as he does, we find he maketh intercession for the saints according to God. As we pray in the Spirit, our worship is as God seeks it to be by his Spirit and truth. You remember what Jesus said about the Samaritan woman when he talked about where she should pray and where they, the Jews, pray? He said, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Isn't that amazing? If I understand that, and by the way, Jesus' authority, if I'm going to have a relationship with God, it's got to be spirit and truth. How's the spirit? My spirit must be quickened. My spirit must be made alive, Ephesians 2. The Holy Spirit moves in to help us now adjust to the new life. And I've got to go back and say, when I was born physically, I had every quality that I needed to for the physical life, but it took years and years in of growth, of separation, of learning, applying. Not one thing that I know is any good unless I make it applicable in my life. That's another thing. Physically, I can learn everything I have to about what I should do for this body to keep it alive. But if I don't make it applicable, it'll die. Knowledge will not keep me from dying if I don't use it. Amen? The mother said, well, you know, you got to eat, son, if you live, not me. I'm born physically. I have the knowledge. If you don't eat, you'll die. One thing, when we get born again, we have capable, all that God has, he's given us a book, he's given us the Holy Spirit. Jesus making an intercession. We have the chance to grow in grace and knowledge. Unless we do, Peter tells us, we have to grow in grace and knowledge. So as a child, we get out of the babe time, Hebrews tells us in chapter 5, on the milk of the word, on the meat of the word, so we will understand more what God tells us later. If I don't understand the simplicity of what the gospel is to give out as a minister trying to reach people and as a born-again child of God, I'll never be able to take that which has to do to meat to choke me. I've got to learn that, take it as it comes and thank God for that and realize I've got to help in heaven and I got to help here. And I'll tell you, after times go by, you begin to see, man alive, when I got saved, 58 years old, I did not know Christianity today would be like it is back when I first got saved, had I been scared to death. See, Christianity to me is more than just coming to church on Sunday morning. It's more than just taking a few days a week. Christianity is something that's a lifestyle, folks, or you don't have it. And by our lifestyles are changed with the culture. Christianity's lifestyle won't change with the culture unless it can make something better. God only changes to make something better. And I'm glad he changed from the Old Testament system to the New Testament system. I'm glad before he made man, he arranged it for that way. So I began to see what has happened as we pray in the Spirit. Our worship is as God sees it to be in spirit and in truth. And prayer is just a breathing of the Spirit in us, really. There are three simple lessons that the believer has to know. Number one is simply this. If you look in Ephesians 1:13, the first thing is that I believe that the Spirit dwells in you when you get saved. Because if you don't believe it, look with me in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. If I don't make it applicable to believe that the Spirit dwells in me when I got saved, then I'll never advance to the place I need to advance to in the sense to grow it. Look in verse 13. He talks about this. Well, go back in verse 12. He said that we should be to the praise and glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. And that John 1:12 is receiving. After that ye heard the word of truth. Folks, let me ask something. Help me, Lord. Have you ever heard somebody say, I can get saved anytime I want to? Hey, when my time gets on my lot right now, but I won't get saved anytime. I can trust the Lord anytime I want to. That's a lie from Satan. Because everybody will say, well, you know, right before I die, I'll trust him. Right before I die, I'll trust him. It don't work that way. You may chance, but you don't have one case in the Bible where that happened. That person died on the deathbed, and that's the man hanging on the cross. But if you look with me at what he says here at this time in verse 13, he said, in whom also ye trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. Can you tell me what the word of truth is? I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said in John 14:6. So he's the epitome of the truth that's needed. After you heard the word of truth, you trusted. That says to me, if you don't hear the word of truth, who are you going to trust? Anybody? Goes on, he says, the gospel of our salvation. The word here, the word of truth, the gospel of salvation. What's the gospel? The good news. Go to 1 Corinthians 15 and see that good news, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In whom after that ye believed, and we say again, John 1:12, believe the, you look at the record, you believe, it takes in gusts receiving, because John 1:12, ye were sealed with that Holy Ghost of promise. And boy, I'll tell you what, I thank God I was raised on a farm. I remember my mother, bless her heart, Cannon, years ago, we never, very rare, well, we never eat out, but we eat at Ennis's restaurant, amen. And it was good eating. But you remember that when the can, how many people here can today? I know, sister, it can. Did you use the icebox freezer bags or did you use the jars? I'm talking about the jars. And I remember first time in mine, and you hear this, and maybe you heard it 100 times, and 101 won't hurt. And my mother would say, I'd hear that she can. She'd have probably 30, 40 jars sitting on a table somewhere after she'd get through with them. And after a while, you hear something go, I can't even do it. You got it. And what happens? And I said, what was that? She said, that's sealed. It's sealed? Yeah. And did you know, ladies and gentlemen, if it's sealed like it should, it'll stay there until you break the seal. Wonder why God used such a thing that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. By the way, when my mother fixed those jars to seal, anybody could break that seal. But most of the time, she's the one that did. She did the cooking. When God's Son, and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, nobody can break that seal. And God's not going to break it. Boy, I'm so glad. That helps me say, Lord, please, anything in the life is not there, help me get rid of it. Because under the blood, Lord, you've done so, you not only saved us, but you live in us. And this world is so powerful. It draws so much. Sometimes we are moving in a direction maybe we think is the right direction, and all of a sudden we find out it's more selfish direction than the right direction. And he goes on, and he says that he said, verse 14, he said, which is the earnest of your inheritance unto the redemption of the possession unto the praise of his glory. Well, I thought I'd finish tonight. I'm not going to be able to. But the first is that the believer believes that the Holy Spirit dwells in him. Deep in the innermost parts of our hidden heart, every child of God has the Holy, mighty Spirit of God dwelling in him. He knows it by faith, and he trusts it because of Romans 12, 1 and 2. Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. The second part I want you to know, second thing, the Spirit helps us in our affirmatives. The Bible always tells us that in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. How does he do that? The Spirit himself also comes in, makes intercession for us, groaning which cannot be uttered. When you cannot find words, what I talked about groaning, Lord, how can I explain that? When you cannot find words again in your thinking or in your prayer, when your words appear cold and feeble and beliefs seem to be kind of out on a string somewhere or another, You can know this, for the fact the Holy Spirit is praying in me, God has promised that, Romans 8, verse 26 and 27. Holy Spirit's there to help me, just like Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And when you can't find those words, so we need to beware of grieving the spirit of prayer, which is the Holy Spirit, by not honoring Him in patience and trust and surrender to Him in the intercession prayer for us. And what is that, again, without, when He talks about this thing of you feel earnestly, it's without, with groaning. And I don't know about you, if you've ever been in a prayer session by yourself, and you really get praying to God by yourself, suddenly you find yourself in a prone position, and you really get praying to God by yourself, suddenly you get in an atmosphere you can't explain, but you know it's there, and you can't hardly say anything, but just, oh God. It comes to a place that you are, that you can't put words together like you want, but God knows exactly what we're trying to say. And ladies and gentlemen, here it is, the Holy Spirit of God. God loves us so much, He gave us His Spirit. He said, even when you get to that place, maybe you're worried, maybe you're depressed, maybe you're frustrated, maybe you find yourself in such a situation at times you just don't know what to do, but you want to pray. You don't know how to pray. You haven't been that preacher, and you ain't really prayed then. And you begin to cry out to God, and suddenly you find yourself groaning. And when you do that, all of a sudden, God says the Spirit of God will bring that prayer right to the very throne of grace, because God sees that your heart is open, and you do anything He told you to do. And your heart will be open. And in so doing, it'll be according to the will of God. And that's what He tells us in Romans chapter 8. And ladies and gentlemen, I accept that as much so as I do someone say name and claim it. In fact, I accept it more than name and claim it. Because that tells me God has an insight to us. He has us in someone the world will never know, and you will find it will help you in your life in growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Because you know, God can show Himself reality to you other than just what you get in your hand, or what you get when you ask for a material thing or something, or even life itself. Holy Spirit tells us that beware of grieving Him. And I wish I could get there by next week, because in Ephesians chapter 4, and we look in verse 30 and 31, 32, what gets me, God said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Don't grieve. You mean to tell me that after we've been born again, received Jesus Christ our Savior, the perfect Lamb of God, our sins are forgiven, they're under the blood, it's a possibility with that atmosphere in us, a child, we can grieve the Spirit of God? Listen, you don't grieve anything unless you do something that goes against them. How can these words be full of things like that over the side, and yet people just pick out certain things that where they're at rather than say, Lord, I want to understand where I'm at from You. Not where I think I'm at, but where You're at. And He goes through these, and we pick up next week. I will finish this next week, intercession. Ladies and gentlemen, what I want you to see is this. God has not left us to ourselves. Not only did He save us, but He moved in. And I like that song that Joyce sings about back, it's been a good while ago, about in the heart, every chamber, secret chamber, but it was just a secret chamber or something like that, in the heart, that whereas not just come in, and Lord, you can, yes sir, my heart's open, Lord, you have everything, but over here in this one little place in the corner, I can't let go. He's got to have it all or not all. We may have Him, and He not have all of us. But He's working towards that goal. Father in heaven, thank You again for loving us. Lord, please don't let this be that in turn where we'll be, I don't know, just dead. Let it be, God, what You're doing. God, You are so great to be able to speak and worlds be formed. And the amazing thing is the Spirit of God, You're so small, You can come in our heart and take Your abode and live with us. I don't know what I'd do without You, Lord. Holy Spirit, I thank You That's the reason I wrote that little song back years ago. About I adore you. I adore the Father. I adore the Son. I also adore the Holy Spirit of God. Because it was the Holy Spirit of God. I adore God the Father because He sent His Son. I adore the Holy Son of God because He came and took my place on Calvary. I adore, I worship also in the Trinity the Holy Spirit because it's the Holy Spirit that led me to the Son that I get to know the Father. He's the channel through that. And therefore, I come to you, I come to all three, but knowing you're one. And Lord, I pray that somehow in these last days, please help us not waste our time on things that don't mean anything, but in those things where God Himself can reveal Himself to us. Lord, we know very little about this book, and we need it now. If we get to heaven, we won't need the book. We'll see the Word Himself that this Word is telling us about, the living Word, what this written Word is telling us about. Until that day comes, please guard our mind. Oh, God, please guard our mind. And bless our church that we will not let the bounders be lower than where God could in His own way use any of us anytime, anywhere, until we see Your wonderful face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.